Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you. Difficulties on last week, but we were still able to go on. We say to God be the glory.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us now, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, that we can be workmen, not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Amen. And so we've been studying about the relationship of the man and the woman in the book of Ephesians, where it talks about the wives submitting to the husband, and we talked about how the husband should lay down their lives for the woman. And how that relationship is, how Christ is involved with the church. And so we wanted to probe a little deeper into, you know, what exactly in relationship does the man and the woman need to make them complete? And it's really interesting, Sheila G., that we're not that complicated. We have some basic needs, and if we as the men and if you know the women learn how to take care of those little things. I know we talked about earlier that pretty much you can get what you want out of the relationship, but you have to learn how to deal with those things that the man or the woman needs. And, you know, when we look at the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we were looking at how in verse 26, or starting at verse 25, Ephesians 5 and 25, it talks about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so one of the biggest things that I find is that the woman needs to be able to feel loved in a relationship. She needs to be able to feel that someone loves her, that someone cares about her, and that in the essence, that satisfies her as, okay, I'm loved. I feel like, you know, this person loves me. There's a need for me. This is important to me that I feel loved. And when someone feels loved, and particularly the woman in a relationship, when she feels loved, that sort of like pushes all the right buttons. And when you push all the right buttons for a woman, come on, Dr. G, you can get whatever you want.
Amen,
Dr. G.
Man.
When she feels love, when she feels that she's taken care of, when she feels that she's appreciated, when she feels that she's in the role of a queen, and you take care of her like a queen, everything on the list is checked off. And when everything on the list is checked off, it's like living in harmony. We got
right.
A question in the audience already. Big Brother Brandon has a question. Big Brother Brandon, you got a statement.
What if the checklist is like unrealistic? Because I mean, let's be serious. I mean, this woman you're speaking of, I mean, I don't know if she's out there. I don't know if how many guys are out there that this woman quote unquote exists. But I know plenty of brothers. I've been myself who've tried to in the past done everything on the checklist, whatever. Still not good enough. It's just one thing after another. So it's like, how do you know where you feel like you're doing everything? She's still saying it's not enough. I don't feel love, but y'all still have that gap, that misunderstanding, that miscommunication, because some brothers are out there doing it the right way, but it's just, I mean, I'm sorry to say it. It's the woman. It is. I'm not going to sit here and say that every situation is perfect, but for every couple guys that don't do the right thing there, those are the brothers who do the right thing. And it's the women who are taking advantage or kind of setting unrealistic expectations. Well, I'm not happy, whatever. But it's like, if you know you're doing the core things, the right things, and it's still, you know, not good enough for her, what do you do? Kind of discouraging.
Well, what I would say is keep it moving. Keep it moving. Because you have to get to a point where there's realistic expectations. And if you're in a relationship with someone, that's why the Bible talks about being equally yoked. If you're
right.
in a relationship with someone that has realistic expectations based upon, you know, what the Word of God says of how a man should treat a woman and how a woman should treat a man. And if she's throwing out those unrealistic expectations, you would say, hey, she's not there yet. You know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this. And, you know, it was good to know you. But I got to go. Deuces. Sheila G, what do you think about that?
Along with that, too, Pastor C, you know, as men, we need to take the time to get to know the young ladies, you know, inside and out as much as we possibly can. And that, along with being led by the Holy Spirit, then at that point, if the request, if the checklist, are unrealistic, that's where we have to depend on God. Because he will let us know also when it's, you know, the right thing, like the right time, or if it's time to move on and not spend too much time with that.
And that's the key part, is really getting to know us. I have to say we can be complex.
Amen.
Did you say complex?
I did.
And we can be, and that's why it's really important, because we are emotional. We are very emotional beings. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, and sometimes we don't know why. But if you get to know us, and you know, that's why it's important that you know me, not just my body, but know me. Know me spiritually. Know my emotions. Know what makes me tick. What makes me go to the left. What makes me go to the right. But what happens is sometimes just as you're trying to get to know my body, that you're not taking the time to know my mind and my heart and the combination of the two, and how sometimes you can walk into the room and look at me and say, oh, she's in one of her moves. Let me not bring up this particular stuff. No, or I may say yay about something one week, and the following week I may be cool with it. But again, getting to know me beyond the physical, you can interpret that. Okay, this is what makes her sick. This is what makes her happy. And then you can talk to the Lord and say whether or not you want to go to that level to make me that happy in that manner or not. But it's really important that you get to know us beyond what you see.
Initially, to be friends,
right?
And so in developing that, you know, getting to know someone, getting to be friends with someone, let me just keep it real. How can the physical get in the way? How can the physical get in the way?
Because we as women know how to
manipulate.
I don't want to say manipulate. Know how to put on what we need to put on, what facade we need to put on to kind of attract you physically. Let's face it, we'll look in the mirror, check ourselves out, and we want to look good. We want to look good not just for us, but we want to look good for you. And so we know how to, because you're emotional, you are going to draw to us quickly based off what you see. But you as a man have to say, yeah, I see that. And I know that she's on her best behavior right now. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I need her when she is not, like, on her best behavior.
When she ugly.
Okay. You say when she ugly?
When she ugly.
We aren't always wonderful. We aren't always, but we'll do that to draw you in.
Amen.
And I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah. Do that to attract you.
Amen.
But you need to know us when we're not at our best as well.
And so when you're at that point where you've gotten to the point where you're past the physical, where you're in it and you're saying, okay, you know, I'm looking for a relationship that yes, it's part of physical, but it needs to be more than that. And what I tell people, Dr. G, is if you're looking for a relationship or are you looking for a flame? You know, and when you get involved with someone, you know, keep it real. You know, am I looking for someone, you know, friends with benefits? Or I'm just looking for something to one night stand? Or am I looking for a committed, you know, long-term relationship? And so when you go and you talk to people, you need to figure those things out first, you know. There's a whole lot of folks with friends with benefits. You know, they just, you know, you get a 3 o'clock call and, you know, what you going to do, and you get the hookup. And then you got the one night stand where, you know, you meet somebody at the club or at the church and, you know, they winking and blinking at the church. Amen. Man, that's for real. They winking and blinking at the church. Amen. Amen. You got some of the best girls at the church. That's what the players say. The players, you got some of the best girls at the church, so they gonna pick up their Bible, they gonna put on their best Gucci, you know, and they gonna roll up in the church, and they gonna smile, and they gonna quote a few scriptures, and they, you know, they gonna get a little emotional, they might cry and run a tear down their face, and she's like, he's so into it, right? And then next thing you know, he's a wolf in sheep clothing, and next thing you know, he got the number, he got the digits, you know, and he's creating drama in your life. See it happen all the time in the church. They pull up and the church girls are so trusting and so loving and to see you come and so, oh, he's coming to Jesus and Jesus is going to change his life and he's coming and he's got a Bible and he knows two scriptures and he cries when the sermon is preached and I'm going to give him my number and this is the one God has sent from you. Can't believe the number of girls that have told me that this was one that God has told me I was gonna marry, and he nothing but the church house pimp.
Amen. Amen. But you know too, it works both ways, male and female within the church.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes females, they see a new brother come in, and you know, they look around, and next thing you know, they got two or three new wigs, and they trying to, you know, get into the altar call, and they want to hold his hand, and you know, all this crazy stuff. But that's the way it happens.
We know how to work it, you know. We definitely do. You know, we know how to attract you. But like you said, depending on what you want, if you want something long term with us, then you have to get beyond that.
But you need to make sure that you're connected spiritually first.
Right.
Because we, male and female, be looking for the wrong thing, even in the church. And because we're looking with our emotional eyes, we won't find what we want to see.
Right. And so, again, you have to know what you're looking for. And sometimes it's hard. It's like you're looking for different things, but you have to know what you're looking for, and you have to make that known in your relationship. So there shouldn't be any question marks of what you're looking for. And so what you have to do is with that person, you have to get together with that person, you know, gather around the Word of God and say, okay, you know, this is what God said we should have. You know, are you in agreement with me about what God wants us to have? And if a person says that they're in agreement with you for what God says is for us to have, then you can start moving forward. And what you have to do is you have to get into a place where you can start carrying out that. And then I think it's also important, Sheila G, to actually look at someone who's gone down that road before. And a lot of times people get into stuff and they don't have an example to look at, and they're not connected with someone that has gone through it and has done it and has experienced the drama, the ups and the downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you don't have something to look at, someone give you some insight, then it makes it a little bit more difficult. But if you're going to get into a relationship where you say, okay, this is what I'm looking for, we're gathered around the Word of God, we're ready to make a commitment based upon what we see in the Word of God, we have someone that's going to mentor us or give us advice to tell us, you know, these are the things that happen early on in the relationship. These are the things that happen with kids. These are the things that happen with, you know, getting older or going through financial challenges. These are the things that come up. And you have a reference point, so when they happen, you're not out there on your own trying to figure it out, but you have a reference point that you can go back to and say, okay, this is what Dr. G and Sheila G said. This is what Pastor C and First Lady C said, and this is what they went through. And so now I have a reference point that, yes, you know, it's a little rough right now because all her attention is taken pretty much by the kids and, you know, new kids, newborn kids or kids and stuff. And you know, I'm feeling neglected, but I talked to Pastor C and Dr. G, and they let me know is be supportive in those situations. The kids are not going to stay small for long, and if you're supported and show support and love during those situations, it will get better. Hang in there. But if you're new to this and you don't know, what happens is you pulling your hair out. You're like, what's going on? These kids are dominating my wife. I don't have no time. What about me? And next thing you know, you're going out, you know, looking at the old cocktail waitresses. You feel me? Sheila G?
Oh, sorry, you just dropped off real quick. What was it that you had said?
I was asking that to have someone that you can mop or up to see what a relationship that's based upon God is. That's important for people that are getting into relationships.
That's right. It's very important and it's not always your friends. Sometimes your friends will, especially girlfriends, particularly girlfriends that are not in a relationship, they will direct you in the wrong path. So you truly do want to see someone that you respect and talk to someone that you know is in the Word, has been in the Word, and is going to tell you the truth. Because sometimes the truth hurts.
Amen.
And sometimes the truth is, okay, you need to stay right where you are.
All right.
You need to let the Lord mm-hmm. lead it, guide, direct you. Everything's not always going to be perfect, you know. A lot of times what I tell young women, I tell them, okay, number one, stop looking at the movies and the romance novels.
Hello.
That's not real
right.
life.
Huh. All right.
You expect to be your light and start shiny armor. No, that's not how it works. It's a type of thing where you have to work at it. But every woman, I always tell them, stop looking at the movies. Stop looking at the romance novels, and we can talk about real life, because what you're setting yourself up for does not exist.
Amen.
So stop looking at the Tyler Perry movie. Yeah. Stop looking at the Harlequin romances and those type of things.
The Harlequin
late
romance.
BET Lifetime.
Yeah, Lifetime.
The Man Hate Jenna. Yeah. And so what you have to do is you have to be realistic. But what I find is when you look at someone that has done it and has been through it, so for instance, you know, our parents, you know, and we've seen, you know, they've been married for over 50 years, and you know,
right.
they have insight, and we can see what they went through and all the different challenges, you know, that they went through. And you know, when you have a couple, you know, that like you and Dr. G, and you've seen what you all have gone through and the different scenarios that have happened in your life, then you have someone that has a wealth of knowledge that can tell you for real, you know, take off the pretend stuff, you know, this is for real, you know, this is what's going on, you know, I know how you feeling, I know, you know, you have desires, you have needs, you know, I know what's going on, but if you do it this way, it's going to work out better. And to have that type of person to be able to talk to, I think that does wonders for relationships. But if you're going out there trying to do something on your own and you don't have a reference point or someone that you can talk to that says, hey, you know, everything
right.
that glitters is not gold, everything that you're thinking about, you know, is not, you know, what the reality is, then you can start saying, oh, okay, these are the instructions. This is what to do. This is how what
right.
I should do when my husband is upset and frustrated. And so you can go
right.
to a relationship with a female, and she sees this guy, you know, she's calling on the phone, and he's upset, he's short with her, he doesn't have, but she doesn't realize that he's going through something on his job or in his family, and so now he's not giving her the feedback that she's used to, so now immediately if she doesn't understand, she goes into attitude mode. And so
right.
instead of that helping the situation, it makes the situation worse. And so if she has someone like Sheila G that can tell you, hey, you know, sometimes jobs are stressful, sometimes men deal with things different, you know, let him have his pity party or his hissy fit or his whatever, and don't nag him, and this is what we're talking about tonight, don't nag him, don't get on his nerve, but allow him to go through that, and he'll come back around. But if you put some lighter fluid on the fire, then that's just going to make the situation worse and make it harder for you all to get back together. But you need someone that's already been through that to tell you, chill out, take it easy, it's going to be okay. Sheila G?
And my reference point to that for women is always the First Peter, the third chapter, because in there it talks about a wife and her quiet spirit, and it says that mm-hmm. a woman with a quiet spirit can win over her husband. And that's in that situation right there where he, for whatever reason, is in this really funky mood and is really just come, you know, obviously something's bothering him. But men do not communicate the same way. We're going to tell you how we feel.
Amen.
But men don't always tell us how they feel, but you can tell that something's going on. And you really want to be like, look, you may be mad at something that's going on at the job, but don't take it out on me and the kids. But that just makes
mm-hmm.
it work.
Amen.
You
yeah,
do
yeah.
if you go to that quiet spirit. So that he knows, all right, you, I get you. I understand. I'm taking a step back. But by me being quiet also, you know that I appreciate the way you said that to me. But I didn't
right.
have to feel to the fire. You can sense it. You can hear it. We didn't have to talk about it. But First Peter 3rd chapter is an excellent point of reference for that. Quiet spirit,
mm-hmm.
you her husband over. It's not easy. Sometimes you'll bite the blood out of your tongue, but it's worth it in the
end. Did you say you got to bite the blood out your tongue? Lord have mercy. Oh, my goodness. That's the first time I heard that one.
Oh, she got a whole...
But again, the information that you're giving is priceless, because anyone in a committed relationship, a serious relationship, it's not always going to be, you know, skip through this. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some inward things that happen, some outward things that happen. And if you have someone that can reference to say, look, girl, or look, man, you know, all this stuff about your woman, you know, talking about what she's not doing this, she's not doing this, she's not doing this, and you complaining all these things about what she's not doing, you know, you need to look at what she is doing. You know, look at it from a different perspective and start thanking God for the things that she is doing, you know, because, you know, a lot of times if you take that perspective, Dr. G, it's really not as bad as you think it is. And, you know, we always go with this thing that, you know, well, she's not doing this, and trying to compare them with what we see, you know, other people might be going through or other people might be benefiting. But at the same time, those other people might have other things, but you never know the drama that they're going through in their relationship. So it's kind of hard, you know, to always complain about, you know, what your compatibility or your mate is doing. And then what I always tell the guys is when was the last time you took your wife or your girlfriend to the altar in prayer? When's the last time you fasted? When is the last time you asked God blessing in her life? When's the last time she heard you pray for her out loud and pray for God's blessing for on her out loud? When's the last time you took her by the hand, got down on your knees and prayed for her? And people, you know, their response is never. A lot of times the guys are never. I said, stop complaining, start getting on your knees, start praying for her. And when she begins to start seeing you pray for her and care for her in that manner, it'll bring a whole new dynamic to the relationship. But you gotta hear it from somebody that's already been through it, Dr. G.
Man, I agree with you, Pastor C, because, you know, we live in a time where it's a show-and-tell type of thing. And we can talk a good game. I mean, there are times, even within my marriage with Sheila G, I mean, we've been, what, married 25 years, going on 26. And you're right. No, it hasn't all been an easy way of going. There have been days when either she'll be upset, I'll be upset, mm-hmm. and there have been times when we've had some not drag out fights. And the only mm-hmm. thing that we can do is everybody goes to their separate little corners, and while I'm in there praying for her,
and she's
telling her on me. So it's a thing, you know, you've got to go to the Lord and keep those lines of communication open. But like you said, what the biggest thing is, no one needs to hear the nag or the negative talk, what one or the other is not doing. Because I tell you what, mm-hmm. life is doing, and we sit there and complain about what someone is not doing, let the Lord take them from us.
Uh-oh.
And we'll be sitting there going through, I wish I hadn't done this, and that kind of will live with you forever.
Exactly. And there was a song out, I can't remember who sang it, but I tell the ladies that I counsel is, don't make it easy for the cleanup woman.
Hello.
What I mean by that, you remember that song? I don't know who sang it. It was like, making it easy for the cleanup woman. In other words, what you're doing is, Sheila G, what you're doing is, you done went through and you've made all this inroads to get your man to understand and to respond a certain way. And now if there was 100 things, you've done 95% of the work, and he's almost there where you need him to be 100%. And then there is one thing that you just want to jump up and nag. And he gets to the point, he said, all right, you know, I done did 95, like Brandon was saying, I did 95%. You bust me upside the head about this 5%.
You know, I'm tired of hearing it. I'm out of here. And now you made it easy for the cleanup woman because you didn't did everything to get him to the point at 95%. And now he's gone, and the cleanup woman comes in. All she got to do is that 1-5%, not nag. And now all that effort you put into this relationship, here she comes and takes it right from you. So the thing is, don't make it easy for the cleanup woman, Sheila G.
That's why you have, as a woman, we have to pick our battles. Because like you said, if we have refined you, gotten you to the place that it is, we can work with you. We can work with it. This relationship is working, but there's a particular thing that's kind of bothering us or what have you. And if we keep nagging on it, and the more you push it, the less it's going to happen.
Hello.
Simply because of the nature of the male and the male ego. I mean, it's like you just can't push it too far.
Watch it.
So that's why it's important that you pick your battles. You have to say, is this really a battle worth fighting? Or do other things that he does cancel that one out? So you know what? For right now, I'm going to let it go.
And I do agree with Sheila. You know, I hate to say it, we egos, when our women start that thinking, we kind of turn deaf to them. We don't want to hear it. And they may be 100% right. But because it's coming in the finale, we turn the volume down. We don't want to hear it. That's just the way that we are.
That's critical. I want the women to hear that. Ladies, listen up. Listen to what Dr. G said. He said, you all can be 100% right. That means you're right. That means you're right. That means that you know you're right. Your husband or your boyfriend, everybody knows you're right. You can put a right tag on top of your head. I'm right on this one. But if you come at it in a nagging way, we're going to tune you out. We're going to flip the script. And it's not the battle that you want to fight because we don't want to hear it in that kind of way. And it's just the way men are. It's like, you're right, but, you know, you ain't got to put it like that, you know. And you have to find that happy medium with your spouse, with your mate, to say, hey, that's not a battle that I'm going to fight. He knows I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm not going to roll around looking like, I'm right, and beating your point in. Sometimes it's not worth beating your point in because in the end you're going to lose because you're going to end up driving that person away.
That's right, exactly. And that's what we as women have to get to the point. And I learned that from my mother. When you can say, I know he heard me. I don't need him to tell me that he heard me and that I'm right. I know I'm right. I said it. I'm leaving it alone, and I'm just going to let there be peace in my house. But I know you heard me. And let it go.
Amen. It's so funny.
Women's Fellowship weeks ago, and there was an actual phrase that I used that we can't use on the internet on the internet radio. But it was like, you heard me. So.
And what's so awesome is once you learn that from your mother, now you pick it up, now you can pass it on. And what Dr. G just said is we can learn from that. And men, we know we're the same way. We know when we're wrong. We know when they're right. But we don't want to hear it that way. And so we got to learn how to find a way to be able to say, all right, you're right, and just move on. As hard as that is, just to be able to say, yeah, you're right, and just keep, you know, just say, you know, I should have did it that way, or just say, okay, or what I say is, you know, and just go ahead and do it. But that's the thing that you gotta learn how to start doing. We got a comment in the audience.
I understand that that's, I'm not going to say it's hard, but and you can speak, I'm sure Dr. G can speak. I've, you know, spoken, you know, people had arguments a while ago, but this is what I don't get. As soon as you say okay, they're so geared up to argue, they just keep, you're like, okay, you're right, what are you yelling for, what are you arguing, they just keep going, and I'm just sitting there like, well, eventually you're going to have to start defending yourself because I've said it off the break, yep, I was wrong. And then maybe they were just looking for me to argue, so then they just want to keep arguing, but it's just like sometimes even you saying okay, all right, still doesn't stop it. It's still got to let them get it off their chest or whatever. And I'm just like, well, if you already acknowledge you're wrong or whatever, why can't it just be, you know, cut it, stop, okay, that's it. And then they just keep going. Like, there have been times, like, off the break, I'm sorry, hey, even the minister of music makes mistakes. Yes, I made a mistake. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting there getting yelled at, like I'm like, well, who is she talking to? Because I'm not arguing against her. I said she was right. So I'm looking around, and I'm like, she's still arguing with me. Like, she would just get up no matter what I was going to say. Just, I got to get it off my chest. That's hard to walk away from. I'm just saying, that's, help me, please.
And so that's where Sheila G's statement comes in.
Right. That is
and where Sheila G's point is, go ahead, Sheila G.
The point that I was making is that we as women need to grow how and know, one, pick your battles, two, say it and lay it. In other words, say it and leave it alone. Know that you know you're right, and then just as hard as it is, because we are emotional and then our emotions get the best of us, bite your tongue, quiet spirit, close your mouth. It's more effective to say it and lay it and leave it alone than to keep saying it over and over again. And that is just something where we as women, you know, that's where we have to grow. We have to learn. We have to understand that. And you can actually say that at a calmer point.
Right.
Not at that point, but you can come back at a calmer point and say, you know, I told you I was right, but I don't understand why you kept coming at me like that. Uh-huh. Now, don't say it at that point because emotions are high.
Right.
But you can always go back and talk to you for a second.
Uh-huh.
The other day when this happened and you said, and I told you I was right, but you kept going on and on. I'm not understanding why. Could you explain to me why? At that point, then you could talk about it and say, you know what, when I tell you that I understand and I heard you, I understand and I heard you. You don't have to keep saying it.
But you know what, that's just not the way females are built. And I'm just being realistic. Even in the spiritual, we must learn how to, as we said, just let them go on and say what they're going to say, get it off their chest, and Sheila G is right, because at that moment, they're not going to hear anything anyhow. They're just going to keep on flapping them jaws, until they get tired of talking, and then they'll be quiet. But if we respond in any way, you know, you're right, no, it just lights them up all over again. So I've learned that, as Sheila G has said, you pick your battles, you pick your time. When it's a calmer moment, you pull the individual aside and say, you know, remember when such a, and you said such a, and I had already said you were right. You have to do it in that way. And if we study the Bible, that's the way that Christ encourage us to work. Because when two people are up, or even if one is upset and one is not, if the person responds any matter, they're going to get upset. And then you got two people going at it, and nothing will ever get accomplished like that. Nobody's listening.
There's a bunch of drama going on.
It's a drama.
And you have to, like you said, you have to learn to say, okay, you know, I'm just going to be quiet, let you run it, you know, you run it, and then leave it alone. And then conversations like we're having here, Bible study, is helping us to be able to get that reference point and say, all right, you know, he gonna act this way, or she going to act this way, and I'm just going to have to let it play out, because if I say something right now, it's going to make it worse. Anybody ever did that? If I say
something,
it's going to make it worse.
Yeah.
So it's best for me just to chill out and not say nothing, because if I say something, it's going to make it work. I need to get my wife on the phone about that one. Lord have mercy. Let me see if I can get First Lady on the phone on that one.
And in fact,
First Lady, you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
What you got to say about that last statement that I said?
Say it again. Refresh my memory.
I said, sometimes you have to don't say anything at all, because if you say something, you're going to make it worse.
Oh, yeah, you have your moment. You have your 4:35. And then, you know, I know when to bother you. I know when not to bother you. and you know when to bother me and when not to bother me. Because I know if you done had a rough day and you coming home and you're in the bed, and then I come in and I want to do my 1,500 words, you turn over and snore, I'm not going to get my 1,500 words in. So
right.
I just sit, watch TV, and be quiet until you recognize, as the children say, smell that I'm in the room. Then you wake up and say, oh, how you doing? How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing fine. Then I'll get my 15 minutes of word in. But most of the time, I know when you're upset. I know when to, as they say, put a fork in it. And I know when, you know, be standoffish, you know, be quiet. Mm-hmm. As Sheila says, sometimes you just have to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working on being quiet.
We thank you. We'll talk to you later. We're gonna see if we can get some more folks on the line. Let me go to 1741. You there?
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you all?
Doing well. So what do you think about the nagging and how to avoid the nagging in relationship?
Well, it takes two to argue.
Amen.
And sometimes not only, as First Lady Gregory said, not only you have to lay it, but sometimes you got to leave it. And sometimes
right.
you have to learn how to just leave out and take a break. And then, like you said, address it later on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you for those comments. We're going to go to 2122. Are you there?
This is 2122. Brother Lee, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Brother Lee.
How you doing today?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, you know, good to hear. I'm glad to hear you back. And you had a good mental health time.
Yes.
Well, look, you know, I've been married 27 years, January the 21st. And what I found out throughout the years, because when I met my wife, we weren't saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we was operating in the flesh.
All right.
Right.
But as I found out, once we made a commitment to Christ further on down the road, there's still certain things exist, like anger and things of that nature. What we have come to the conclusion through trial and error, see, I'll shut down on you like a computer. And it will be no more conversation. In fact, one of my favorite saying to my wife, Mary, is that I can't do with you in a civilized manner. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
And that'll help cut down on that being angry and sin not, you know, letting out the sound from your wrath.
That's
in
right.
Ephesians 4:26. We have to learn to stand down.
Yeah.
Okay? And it'll cut down on a lot of other stuff, because you can say things and hurt people's feelings.
That's right.
And, man, and sometimes it's hard for them to regroup. And that's all I wanted to share.
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go to 17. We're going to 8481. 8481, you there?
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, yeah.
Good. We were talking about the and the stubbornness of the men. What do you have any comments to add about from a female standpoint of when to pursue your point and when not to? Do you have any reference on that?
No, I think, well, like I say, in a relationship, you know, when you're starting off, it's going to be a little rough. But I think once you're in a relationship and you start to get to know your husband or wife more, you get along better. Because I guess the time you spent there, you, like I said, you know the ways, you know, when to approach them, when not to approach.
Right.
So, and that's for me. I know when to back off.
All right.
I guess he knows when to back off too. So it's like the arguments and the competition are less.
That sounds good. And that's what you want, you know. You want it to be less. And like you say, you learn to go forward. You learn to back off. You learn to give a little bit. You learn to take a little bit.
That's
and,
it.
And, you know, one of the things that I like about learning to give a little bit and take a little bit is that then you can come together and then you can really appreciate each other and start to all over again.
That is so true.
Because the argument, it puts a period on the romance. And most people I know in relationships, Dr. G, love the romance. Amen.
Amen.
Can we keep it real? Most people in relationship, in the relationship because you like the romance.
That's
Dr. G, am I right? You like the romance. And so once you've gotten through the argument, amen, then you've taken the romance off pause, and now you can get back to the pause and get back to the romance, and the romance is always better than the argument.
Right.
Dr. G, what do you think about that?
I agree with you, Doc. I mean, and you know, you about, you know, the arguing and all of that, you know, it takes, I think it's Minister Lindsay said, it takes two to argue. But the thing with most, and, you know, for some of us, it hurts our pride not to be able to respond, you know, in that particular time. And I've learned that is just the word. If you learn to shut it up, okay, fine, you got it. You can talk to your head. You can go away and talk, complain. But just learn how to shut it down. That'll help you get back to the romance quicker.
Amen.
That's the fun.
Amen.
And so we're gonna go to one more call. We're gonna go to 9190. 9190, are you on the line?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
my husband and I have been together for a long time, and you know, though we've only been married 7 years, we've been together 17 years. And one of the things one of the best advice that I have received from my mom, Sheila G, was that she pretty much told me that all vows are not worth fighting for, you know. And sometimes as you get older and as you get to know each other, your wisdom starts kicking in, and of course Christ starts kicking in into your soul and your body and your mind and all that. And then you have to look at the end result. When you look at a situation before you argue, you have to look at the end result. Okay, do I want the end result to be, you know, an argument, or do I want to just leave it alone? Is it worth it? And sometimes I look at my life every single day, and I have avoided so many fights and arguments because I'm like, you know what? Like Dad said, shut it up, be quiet, don't say anything, and just learn how to deal with it. But in the process of all of that, that also makes me stronger. So that when we do, you know, kind of deal with things, I know how to handle it a little bit more better in terms of when we are talking about it, when we're arguing about it. Now, don't get me wrong. I do have my moments every now and then, but overall, I know that I've definitely grown, and I really think that when you keep Christ in the middle of your relationship, it really helps to, you know, for the both of you, really, to, you know, kind of take every situation and not jump to conclusions and not argue, not, you know, and look at each other's views and not just look at your own view, let's put it that way. But Bible study definitely helps. This has been awesome, and I really think you guys should be some marriage counselors.
Well, that's what it's all about. And, you know, a lot of times, Dr. G, you know, when people come to me and they say, well, we want to get married. So how much time do you want to spend with that person? Do you want to spend the rest of your life with that person, or do you just want to get married and see how it's going to play out? And so I told him, you have to go into it with the end goal of, I want to spend the rest of my life with that person. And then when I tell him that, I said, how much counseling are you willing to go through to learn about what God says about marriage before you actually make that commitment? And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they tell me, well, we're not trying to go through any counseling. We already set the date. We're going to go to Cancun, get married, blase this, blase that. And, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, well, how much time are you trying to invest? Because I said, what, you know, the rest of your life, if you're going to spend, you know, 50, 60 years or how old you are with this person, what's, you know, a few weeks, you know, a few months of counseling in light of, you know, my parents are over 50 years. You know, you take, you know, 5 weeks or five, you know, counseling or 5 months to get to know that person and go through counseling. You know, I tell them, is it worth it to help you that we can survive, you know, 50 years? And sometimes people just don't want to come to counseling. They don't think they need it. And, you know, I had several people tell me, I got it. I got this. You know, anyway, you know, I don't have to worry. I already know. We already worked it out. We already know what's going on. We don't need any counseling. We don't need any biblical counseling. And so, you know, when I tell them, you know, we're going to do some biblical counseling, a lot of times they go somewhere else. Some of them go to Vegas. Some of them go to, you know, different places and get married. And then, you know, a lot of them, and I would say more than not, when they refuse biblical counseling, they end up back in marital counseling. So I'm like, invest your time in the premarital counseling so you won't have to come back into marital counseling. But sometimes it just doesn't stick. It doesn't stick, and then they come in there with, he said this and she said this, and he come back in, man, she done been over mama's house 5 times, and she talking about she ain't coming back, and she got the kids, and they done came up to my job, and blah, 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 blah. And you like, well,
yeah.
I thought you said you had that. Right. And the problem was, Dr. G, you had it instead of God had it. Dr. G.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Well, you know, one thing that I do whenever I get ready to start counseling with a couple, Sister Gregory, will ask them, well, where do you think you'll be in 25 years? And, you know, thinking long term, and if they come up with some, you know, answer that's not really too swift, then we'll break it down for them. And if they ask, why do you, you know, ask 25 years? Because, see, we're thinking long term. When you talk about marriage, your relationship, I mean, I did not get into this for just a short stop. I mean, this is for life for me. And the way that I, my mate right now, you know, she is my best friend. I can share with her. I can't share with anybody else. I trust her more so than anybody. And I'm not putting anybody down. I love them dearly, but I can't share everything with them.
Absolutely.
My pastor, share everything with him. But with my wife, I can share everything with her. She is my best friend. We have our mom, but she's still number one, other than God, with me.
That's it. Look. Y'all going to stay another week. Oh, isn't that nice?
Romance.
You say you gotta get off the phone. You get with your boogum snuggum, huh? All right now. Ain't working that thing. Go ahead. I ain't mad at you.
No,
I'm going home myself in a few minutes. Hey, what? The romance. All right. This is a family Bible study. Cut it out. It's family Bible study. What did you say, Susie?
It's very true, though. If you grow together, if you get counseling and you're ready for any struggle, every time you go through a struggle with your mate, where every time you go through a hard time with your mate, you end up closer together.
Amen.
And I can truly say I'm closer to my husband than I was when I married him 25 years ago.
I know that's right.
And that's because we in the struggle, we have grown together. We figured each other out, you know, what sticks and what doesn't. And one of the questions I ask in premarital counseling is, have you guys had an argument?
Hello.
Have you had a struggle?
Come on.
have you gotten so angry with that person that you were like, I don't know what to do with them, and then came back together? Because until you experience those things, that's when you know not you're going to make it.
Right.
Of course you can make it if everything is always hunky-dory and rosy, but if you've been in a relationship, and if they come to us and they say they've never had an argument, I'm like, somebody's lying.
Red flag, red flag.
Let me
ask this question, and this is going to be the tease for next week. What do you do, Sheila G, and this is going to be the tease for next week, what do you do when you love that person but you're not in love with them? And how do you deal with that relationship? How do you deal with when you love a person, but you're not in love with them? When the relationship gets to a rocky point where you love that person, but you're not in love with that person at the moment. How do you deal with that? Well, I love you, but right now I'm not feeling you. I'm not in love with you. And how do you get back to the point where you're in love? And when I ask people in premarital counseling, when I'm asking that, they're like, what are you talking about? I love the person, but I'm not in love with that person. There's a place where you can get to where, yes, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And that's where a lot of times the divorce words and the separation words come out, because now I'm not in love. In other words, I'm not in that place where I'm in love and I'm feeling you. And when you get to that place where you love that person, but you're not feeling that person, what happens is now the thought of, am I really wanting to be in this relationship? Am I ready for a divorce? Am I ready to put up with this? Am I ready to call it splits? And so what we want to discuss next week is, what are those things that push us to that point where I'm in love with you, where I'm love you, but I'm not in love with you? And how, you know, Bible say that, how do we deal with those things to keep us from pushing, you know, the divorce option or the breakup option, because that option is always waving in front of our face. And it seems like, you know, early on in a relationship, when you get into it, you like, you know, why did I get married, or why did I do this? And, you know, is it really worth it? Or I can do good or bad by myself. And, you know, he's tripping, and, you know, I'm not really ready to. That divorce option is like, on your shoulder, Sheila G, said, you might as well get rid of him, girl. You know he ain't right.
Yep.
I wouldn't put up with that. And you ride down the word, you ride down the road, and they talk about, look at that. He giving you all that smiling and attention. He smiling and grinning, and he fine on top of that. And why are you staying with him? You know,
in
those moments where you love the person, but you're not in love with that person. In other words, you're not feeling them. You got to learn how to deal with that, because that's a real thing that the enemy is going to keep throwing in front of you to try to cause you to give up on your good thing.
That's right. That's where the faith kicks in.
Yeah. Right, and that's where your faith kicks in. And so we're going to talk about that next week, of how do you deal with it. Well, you're not feeling the person. I love them, but I'm not feeling them. I love her. I'm not feeling her right now. And then that's when the enemy can swoop in with somebody that will give you that attention, or try to, you know, divert your attention of what that good thing you already got, and cause you to make a mistake, and cause you to ruin or damage your relationship, sometimes irreparably. And so you got to watch out for those things, and that's where your faith kicks in. And so those are real things that happen in relationships, and we need to pull in and dig in a little deeper. So when people begin to get in relationships, and I love that person, but I'm not feeling that person, I'm not in love with them like I was, how to go in, identify that, and then the good part that I like is to rekindle that love part of the in love part of the relationship. You got to constantly be aware of when things need to be where they need to be lit up again. And so the Bible talks about those things, and we're going to talk about those on next week. Sheila G?
Sounds good.
Dr. G?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, y'all go ahead and rekindle that thing. Anna Williamsburg, you know, Anna, your business, I'm not mad at you. 25 years, going on 26. You know, God's been good. And we'll take care of everything up here. And y'all have fun now, y'all.
All right,
okay, now.
All right. We're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for allowing us to gather around your word, God, and getting into a reality of relationships, God, and from the female perspective, the male perspective, and how we are made differently, God, but how you have bound us together in your love by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you would continue to help us to walk in faith concerning our relationships, God, trusting you, God, that you know what's best for us, and God, that we would humbly submit to you. And God, that you would direct our path, because you said in your word that if we trust in you with all our heart, that you would direct our paths. And if we don't lean to our own understanding, God, that we would trust you and that you would help us to make the right decisions, God, and that you would help us to avoid a lot of headache, a lot of heartache, a lot of stress. And so, God, we just thank you for this time that we spent together. And now, Father, we just pray for our extended families, God. God, those that have lost loved ones, those that are sickly, or those that are going through whatever situation is, God. We pray for them right now, God. God, we ask that you would be everything that they need, God, that you would show yourself mighty, that you would be Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Oh, God, that you would be the great I am that I am. And, oh, God, until we come together again in prayer and Bible study, we pray that you would keep us. Continue to bless Sheila G and Dr. G as they're on vacation. God, we pray their rest and relaxation. We pray, God, that you would grant them traveling mercies and that they would be able to return safely and find their homes in their proper place and perspective. And as always, God, we'll be careful to give your name all the honor, the glory, and the praise that you so richly deserve. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right,
amen.
Everyone, good night. And we'll talk to you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Leading.